This episode of The Productivity Show is brought to you by The Dojo, the productivity community that comes with training and accountability that is focused on helping you do the damn thing. Try The Dojo at theproductivityshow.com/dojo. Welcome to The Productivity Show, a podcast by Asian Efficiency to help you maximize your productivity so you can get everything done without having to sacrifice your health, family, and things that matter to you. We've helped tens of thousands of people save time, be happier, and become more productive. If you're listening to this podcast, we're going to bet that you had some sort of productivity challenge in your life. Maybe you found yourself repeating the same negative habits. Maybe you haven't adapted as well to a new situation that you'd like. Or maybe you have distractions get the better of you, and when you get to the end of the day, you feel like you haven't accomplished anything. Well, even though we host a podcast called The Productivity Show, we've been there too. In this episode, we're going to share four productivity challenges that we've had over the years and what we did to overcome them. Even though your challenges may be different, we'll think you'll pick up some good ideas that will help you break through. You can find links to everything that we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/302. And now, on with the show. All right, we are back for another episode of The Productivity Show. Hey, Brooks, how are you today?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm wearing my old school QC25s, these cans I've had for, I don't know, 5-6 years now. My AirPods weren't really cooperating this morning, so I thought, you know what, I'm going to go old school, wear some wired headphones for this episode today.
Yeah, you won't be able to walk across the room and turn off the light like you did the other day on camera. You'll hit the reach of your cord and pull your computer off, so better stay at the computer this time.
I know, first world problems. But let's not talk about that. Let's talk about challenges that we have overcome over the last few years. But before we start diving in today's episode, I want to make sure everyone knows who's who. This is Tan Pham, founder and CEO of Asian Efficiency, where we help people become more productive at work and in life.
And I'm Brooks Duncan, the operations director here at Asian Efficiency. We're the hosts of The Productivity Show. Super, super excited to be here talking about what may not be a pleasant topic for us, but will hopefully be a very useful topic for you.
So before we start diving into the content today, one of the things we always like to do is share some of our favorite resources as of lately. So I got three of them here today for you. So the first one is a service called Wings, and it's spelled W-I-N-G-Z or Z. And it's a rideshare service, but the beautiful thing is instead of Uber or something like Lyft, you can actually book your car in advance and then also have the same driver come pick you up. So you can kind of build like a relationship with the same driver. So this is a service I personally use whenever I go to the airport or whenever I want to be picked up from the airport, whether it's in my local town in Austin or in other cities where they are available. This is my preferential service. Again, we're not affiliated with them. Just a service that I really love and recommend. The second one is a book called Smart Cuts. This is a great book about thinking differently and thinking outside of the box to accomplish your goals. This is one of those books that I always like to revisit maybe once or every other year because it's such a great book to really rethink about how you accomplish your goals and how you go on your path. So I think that's the best way I can describe that book. And so I don't want to give away too many strategies that are in there because you have to go check it out yourself, but it's a worthwhile investment. So check out Smart Cuts. And then the third one, this is a really expensive hobby, but a new one that I have as a very recent, which is flying a drone. So I have a drone, which is the DJI Mavic Mini. It's the one that is the smallest one under 250 grams, so you don't have to register it anywhere. And you can just fly it, take pictures, capture tons of fun footage. It's a really fun hobby. It's a nice way to be creative and disconnect from work and get yourself out of your house. It's a really fun hobby. I've had mine for maybe about 10 days now, and I've pretty much flown every single day just to learn how to use this thing. So it's kind of like a fun adult toy in a way. So highly recommend you get yourself one as well. All right, Brooks, we're going to be talking about how we came or overcame our challenges, I should say. And if you're listening to this, obviously you're interested in productivity and being your best self. So maybe there's something in your work or personal life or general like life in in general where you are kind of like stuck when it comes to being productive and living your best life, that's frustrating you. If that resonates with you, then there's something in it for you here today, because many of us have been down that path and hopefully we can shortcut the process for you. Maybe things are going pretty well for you, but you know there are areas in your life where you can improve. And then maybe everything is perfect already and life is pretty great. And you just want to hear how we have suffered in the past. If that is entertainment to you, then you're in the right place as well. So Brooks, let's just kick it off here. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with a little productivity schadenfreude. So yeah, if you just want to hear about Tan and I twisting on the vine, that's totally great. No judgment there at all. But yeah, so we've all had challenges at some point in our life. Maybe they're tough work situations. Maybe they're mistakes that we've made in the past. I've definitely made my share of productivity mistakes, which you've heard about on the podcast over the years. Maybe it's just something external. It's totally natural and expected to have these kind of productivity challenges. Nothing ever goes perfectly according to plan. And when it does, celebrate it, but often that's not the way it is. So the problem happens, though, is when we don't actually learn from our challenges. So we have these challenges. Maybe we overcome them totally. Maybe we overcome them a little bit. But the key is, what can we learn from them and what can we apply to future situations? So what we thought we would do is look back at some of our challenging situations that we've had in the past and try to unpack, like, why were they a problem? What did we do about them? How did things improve, if they did, after we tackled them? We thought we would share them here on the podcast because maybe you would be able to get at least some pieces. Of course, your situations are going to be totally different in some cases, which is, again, totally natural and expected. And we do want to acknowledge that when we're talking about challenges here, obviously, in the grand scheme of things, our challenges might not be super earth-shattering. You know, we're both reasonably healthy. We haven't had to go to the food bank. At least, I don't know your situation, Tam, but I don't think so. I have kids, but I also have a spouse that really helps with childcare. So you may have challenges that totally go beyond that, which we completely understand. And if that is you, a really what I think might be a useful podcast episode for you on top of this one is TPS 256, which I recorded with James Lott Jr. and Jennifer Lava. It's called How to Be Productive Through Illness and Recovery. But we go a lot beyond just strictly talking about illness. So if you are in kind of a more extreme challenges situation, I definitely recommend you check that out. So when we talk about challenges in this context, we're really talking about situations we found ourselves in, with mistakes we made, or just things we needed to change and were holding us back.
Yeah, so I see we have four of them here today, and I'm going to give you the floor, Brooks. You can start off with the first one. So where did you screw up? Where were you an epic failure? What was your biggest challenge here?
That's right. This is the hashtag epic fail episode of the Productivity Show. You know we'd have one eventually. Okay, so my first productivity challenge that I thought of when we first started talking about doing this episode is back when I worked at a financial software company. I worked in client services and I started out as an individual contributor, bottom of the totem pole, and worked my way into management. That wasn't the productivity challenge per se. That was, I was obviously happy that that happened. But my challenge was I got into management and I had literally no productivity system at all, like nothing. When I was an individual contributor, I didn't really need a system all that much. You know, we had an issue tracking system. So when things would come up from our customers, if I needed to solve problems, if I needed to help a teammate with problems, it would kind of come to me that way. So I was able to just work off of that. And then I was pretty fast at my job. So I was able to get through the stuff I needed to do and help others. So I didn't really need any sort of system. However, once I became manager, then that all went out the window. All of a sudden, I had a ton of things to deal with other than the kind of regular issues that I had dealt with before. I had requests coming in from different parts of the company. Then we got bought out. So all over the world, I had requests coming in. All of a sudden, I wasn't just responsible for my career, but I was responsible for the career of my staff. So I'd have to help them develop improvements I wanted to make to the department. All this stuff was going on. And in the past, I had My basic productivity system was I had a notepad that I jot notes down on, but I never really used to go back to those notes unless there was something I need to scramble and look for. And I had a calendar, but it really only had kind of like the regular departmental meetings on it. I didn't use it proactively in any way. And even a to-do app, I didn't really use a to-do app. I had a BlackBerry, and there was a, I don't remember what it was called. Maybe there's BlackBerry users listening that are old school BlackBerry users that are listening to this screaming. It was called Tasks or To Do or something like that. Maybe I would put something in there if it was really important, but that was about it. And it was kind of like going from high school to university. You know, in high school, some people may resonate with, I was like this. I didn't really have to study too much in high school. You know, it was fine. I was able to just kind of get my stuff done, do exams. I never really had to study. But then once I got to university, wham, it just like hit me like a ton of bricks. The jump up totally changed things for me. So that was my real productivity challenge.
So what really led to you then wanting to change or do something about this?
Yeah, I think it was definitely not an intrinsic thing. Like I realized I was struggling, but I was, you know, I felt like I was managing. It was more when I'd be asked for follow up on things, or I'd be in a meeting talking about how we were going to do this and that in the department, or I would handle this or that situation, and then realize that I had said the exact same thing in a meeting maybe 3 months ago and nothing happened on it. Or I'd have staff members kind of get annoyed with me because maybe they'd ask me to do something for them, help them out with something, and then I drop the ball. And this is one thing maybe some people listening to this can relate to. This is even more difficult when you are working with coworkers and then you become their boss. So that was a difficult transition too. So, and then when you're in those situations, you know, they're maybe more willing to let you know what your failures are when you used to be their equal and now you're their manager. So those were some examples of the things that really made me realize I needed to do something.
And so what changes did you then apply or actually follow through on that kind of like addressed everything for you?
Well, I knew that I needed to change something, but I didn't really know what, because I had zero productivity experience and zero productivity system. I didn't even really know that productivity was a thing that one could get into. But I knew I didn't want to just get some app. Like I didn't want to find a to-do list and try that. I knew it was something more fundamental than that. I don't know if you remember, I'm sure it's still around, but there was a website that was really popular back in the day called Slashdot. Any nerds might be familiar with that one. That used to be a site that I read a lot. And I noticed on there, a lot of people were talking about this book called Getting Things Done. It seemed to be something that a lot of people found really helpful. So I bought it. It was my very first purchase from Amazon Canada, that and a bunch of Merchant Ivory DVDs, because my first son had just been born. So I bought Getting Things Done for me and Merchant Ivory for movies like Howard's End, Room with a View for my wife. So those were my first Amazon purchase. And basically what I did is I read it, and then I knew that this is something that I would have to change. I couldn't just make little tweaks here and there. I knew I would have to do something pretty drastic. So I took a whole weekend, which was not easy for me to do with a newborn son. And it was even less easy for my wife, obviously. But I went into the office and basically tore my cubicle. I was in a cubicle at the time. Tore my cubicle apart. I really took to heart that initial capture phase that the book talks about, where I took a stack of paper, I had my inbox, my physical inbox, I'd write things down that I needed to do. I went through all my drawers, I went through my email inbox, my calendar, my notes, the sticky notes all over the walls everywhere of my cubicle. I went through there and I captured everything and then got rid of a bunch of junk. And that took literally a whole weekend to do. And then I wanted to have a GTD software, but because we were in financial services, I couldn't use some of these web-based softwares. So I found some software that I just found the other day called Trax. It still exists. And it was a Ruby on Rails program that I installed on a local computer. and started using that. So it was the GTD methodology combined with a tool that would help me keep track of everything. It was such a huge impact of doing that. Just going shock and awe and taking the time, which I didn't really have, but I cleared out space to be able to do it. And it was one of the most fundamental changes I've ever made in my work life, like actually being intentional about productivity and taking action on the things I needed to do. And you know, David Allen in the book talks about that state of mind like water. After that weekend, and every time I did the weekly review, because that was the other thing, I had that mind like water feeling, and I knew I was always on top of the things that were going on. And then people around me felt that too. It was quite a big difference. And that combined with being able to actually have more of a work-life balance, just taking that one weekend and then the regular weekly reviews made a huge difference.
I actually have a very similar story about that, but I'm going to share that a little bit later because I feel like there's a time when you are struggling and overcoming things before you discover productivity. And I've one just like that. And then you have a time period where, okay, you kind of know some stuff about productivity and how to be efficient and how to be effective, but then you run into growth challenges and you figure out, okay, things are going pretty well, but I actually have a quality problem now. And that's actually one of the challenges I had personally, because when this is back, like I want to say 2014, 2015, when Asian Efficiency was growing really fast, we were at that time like hiring a lot of people. And then also we were literally drowning in opportunity. And what I mean with that is, you know, things were going well, like we're growing in size, we're growing in revenue. And there's like all these different things we could have done. We could have done new workshops. We could have started a conference. We could have started creating a new course. We could have focused on online advertising. We could have focused on doing more live training online. We could have done all these different things. And we were literally drowning in opportunity in the sense that, okay, whatever we pick, you know, if we really focused on it, we could probably grow the company very significantly, right? And so we had like 6, 7, 8 options in front of us. And we were overconfident at the time because we decided to chase multiple opportunities, even though we knew of the whole idea of like one thing at a time or just focusing on one thing. Or if you ever read something like Essentialism, you try to cut back on as many things as possible and just focus on, again, right, the one thing. And so we were like, you know what? We are really smart people. We are productive people. We are Asian efficient. We can do 2 things. We can definitely do 3 things, no problem. And so we started to chase all these opportunities. We wanted to do online advertising. We wanted to do live events. We wanted to create a new course. And we quickly realized that a few months in that was not going to work. We started to notice that every quarter we were not hitting our goals anymore. We started to lose focus and we became really distracted. And it was kind of hard to tell in the moment because we were just so excited about everything that was going on. Like the company was growing, you know, we're chasing different opportunities, different people are working on different things, right? But over time, we just started to notice that things were slowing down and things were not getting done on time. And when things were not consistently done on time, that's when we knew, okay, we have a problem. And it wasn't only until like months and months, months after that, when we realized, okay, we probably chased too many opportunities. We start to notice like multiple quarterly goals start to get missed. And when that happens multiple times, like people really lose kind of like steam. They kind of lose motivation. People are not as excited when you start a new quarter, knowing that the last 2 or 3 quarters failed, right? So this whole morale thing within the company was just going down, down, and down. And it was simply because we were just chasing too many goals, too many opportunities at the same time. And then when you add on top of that, that you're losing money as well because you're not being efficient anymore. Money is flowing out because you're investing in different things, but you don't get stuff done on time, so you don't get a return on your money, and so on. It started to create a lot more problems as a result, right? And so we realized, okay, we are focusing on too many different things. We need to start cutting back. And that's oftentimes really difficult when you say, hey, you know, instead of doing 2 or 3 things at the same time, we just need to cut back to one thing. And then part of you just always goes, oh, man, what if we did this other thing though? Like maybe just 1 or 2 hours a week, you know, or 3-4 hours on the weekends or something, you know, we can still do it, right? But we had to be really disciplined to say, no, we're not going to do that. We're just going to do one thing at a time, right? And so we had to cut back to just focusing on one opportunity or one goal every single quarter. And once we started to do that, things started to go back to normal again. We started to hit our quarterly goals again. Company started to grow again. Instead of losing money or losing revenue, we started growing again and keeping it alive during crazy times and investing for the future. And so it's one of those, like, I used to think it was like a luxury problem where, you know, you are drowning an opportunity and how can you actually, you know, go backwards. But I had to learn this lesson very much the hard way. This episode is brought to you by The Dojo, the productivity community that comes with training and accountability. The entire productivity world says what you need is more information, more books, more blog posts, and yes, more podcasts. Those are all good, but the information is only 20% of what you need. What you really need is execution. You need to do the damn thing. And The Dojo is what will help you do it. Every month in The Dojo, we'll hop on a live group coaching call centered around a specific topic. We'll spend some time together teaching you the best practices, but most of the time we'll be spent having you complete action items live on the call and we'll help you implement as you go. The result? By the end of the call, you got the damn thing done. For example, we had a do the damn thing call on planning your perfect week. You might have heard of tips and tricks and how to do this and how to plan your perfect week, but how many of you actually did the damn thing? That's where the Dojo Do the Damn Thing group coaching call comes in. We had Dojo members show up, we taught them our process, and then by the end of the hour, everyone had their week planned ahead of time. They did the damn thing. And we do this every month for our Dojo members on a new topic. So if you want to be part of Do the Damn Thing calls, for the Productivity Show listeners, we have a special offer when you enroll today. Go to theproductivityshow.com/implement. That's theproductivityshow.com/implement.
If you do have that problem where, if somebody is having that problem where there are just so many opportunities or just so many quote unquote priorities, how do you evaluate them? How does somebody know of these different things that could theoretically be a priority? What are some things that you think about when you're deciding which of those one things to focus on is what the main priority is going to be?
Yeah, so it used to be just be based on a vision, right? Or a gut feeling and just say, hey, this is what we're going to go for, or we're going to do these two or three things. And then I forgot who introduced me to this tool. It might have been at a mastermind I was going to, but they were showing the ICE matrix. And Brooks, since you've done quarterly planning before, you know what this is. And this is actually a strategy a lot of corporate companies use. And ICE stands for impact, confidence, and ease. Right? So impact, confidence, ease, ICE. So what you do is you create a table, and on the horizontal line, you have a column called I, or impact, then C, or confidence, and then E, which is ease, right? So I, C, E. And then on the vertical line, you then have opportunities, right? So you create this matrix, essentially, where you have all your opportunities, and then you score them based on how impactful will this be? What's the impact of something like this, right? So for example, let's say we have three opportunities for Asian Efficiency, which is hosting a conference, right? Creating a new online course and online advertising, right? Those were some of the things that we were going after. So then you would write those down in the vertical column and then you would score them every single opportunity. And then multiple people would score them as well, right? So I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, what's the impact that this particular opportunity could make. So let's say we're talking about conferences, right? So what's the impact on this? This could be revenue. This could be, you know, helping people. Like, it's just your way of gauging and defining what impact means. And so maybe I'd say it's a 10, right? And then we would then look at the next column, which is confidence. See, what type of level of confidence do you have that you can pull this off, right? So 10 meaning, oh, we can definitely do this. 1 meaning, oh, I have no clue. Right? I don't know if this is actually going to work or not. So maybe since we've never done a conference before, I would rate it maybe like a 3 or 2 even, right? let's just say it's a 2. And then ease, meaning like how easy is this to implement this stuff? Since we've never done it before, I'm going to probably say it's a 1. Okay. And then you multiply the scores, right? So the first one was 10, the second one was 2, and then the third one was 1. So the total score is 20. So that's the total score for the conference opportunity that we have, right? So then we would do the same thing, but we would ask someone else on the team. So I would ask Brooks, hey, Brooks, what do you think about the conference opportunity? You would rate it yourself, and then you have a different score. And then, you know, we go around the table, and then everyone has like different scores. And then we would do that the same process again for every single opportunity. And so you take away all sort of bias and emotions as much as possible. And you just look at it from a kind of like framework point of view and say, okay, everyone seems to think that, you know, based on the scoring, that the conference has the highest impact and potentially the highest opportunity as well for growing the company compared to the other opportunities, which are scored lower. And so that doesn't mean that we're always going to go with that particular opportunity, but at least it creates a framework and parameters around, okay, what should we pursue and why shouldn't we? So that was a big game changer for us, is to implement that ICE matrix.
Yeah, the ICE matrix is a very useful tool. And I'm trying to be clear saying useful, because on a team call this morning, I said somebody is useful, but somehow the way everyone on the team heard it is they heard it as I was saying they were useless. So useful, very important. It is a very useful tool, and it can be a very humbling tool too, but in a good way, because you have this idea and you think it's a fantastic idea and you're like, yeah, but once you run it through the ICE matrix, you realize, okay, maybe it's not such a great idea after all. Based on some of the comments getting in the chat, which we do, we record these podcasts live in front of the dojo, our productivity community. The ICE matrix may be a good candidate for a DTDT session someday to take people through it, because it is a really useful and powerful tool. All right, so those are our first two challenges. So I'm going to share another challenge. And the challenge that I had is I realized that I was overextending myself and saying yes to going, or not even saying yes, it was my decision to do it, going to way too many events and conferences and workshops and those types of things. And this is something I talked about a little bit in an episode of the Productivity Show we did on conferences, TPS 225. But basically, I was at a time in my career where if something seemed interesting or even tangentially related to my business or what I did, I went to it. And even if I had to travel, if something looked cool or I thought to myself, oh, this could be good for business or whatever, I would go to that conference. And I remember there one year I realized it was at some point in a year, I don't remember when, I realized that I had been to San Francisco 5 times that year. And I, you know, I had my favorite Thai place that I would eat at. I started recognizing, you know, some of the people around town, like because I was going to the same area also. And that's when I realized that something's got to change here. There's no reason that I personally should be in San Francisco 5 times during the year. And so I found that I was spending a ton of time and money on things, and it was hard to say that it was worth it. Like, you know, maybe I'd be there, I'd meet friends, I'd have a good time, sit in some interesting sessions maybe. But if I really analyzed it and factored in, you know, time away from my family, factored in having to cram, you know, my real work, like the stuff I probably should have been doing during trips sometimes, I realized eventually that it wasn't worth it. It was actually having negative effects. And it was actually when I first joined AE, that's when I realized, kind of coincidentally, that's when I realized that something really was not right with this situation. Because right as I was starting at AE, I was speaking at a conference in Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City, by the way, really nice place. I'd love to go back there. But I was in Salt Lake City, but I didn't really get to see the city at all because I was in my hotel room the whole time. I was working on some projects. I was prepping for the talks I was going to be giving. I was missing like some conference events and some speaking stuff because I just had so much going on. And I just sat there in my hotel room and I realized like, what am I doing here? Why am I putting myself through this. So what I ended up doing, my first thought was, as far as like the changes I was going to make, is I thought, okay, well, I'll just scale back. I'll be more choosy about the events that I go to. I'll be more picky. And I know Derek Sivers is famous for having a scale that he uses for choosing what to focus on. I'll find it and put a link to this in the show notes, where his threshold is, if something isn't a hell yes, then it's a no. So I could have gone that way, but what I decided to do, because what I decided that wouldn't really work for me, because how could I make that determination? Even whether something is a hell yes or not, you know, what am I really basing that on? So what I ended up doing, which was kind of interesting, because Cal Newport described this exact same process in Digital Minimalism, his book about being more mindful with technology, is I decided to go cold turkey. So I no conferences, events, speaking for a year. And then after that, I would see where things go. Do I still want to do it? Is it something I miss? Am I having some sort of negative impact in my life or in my business from not doing it? And that's the kind of approach that I took, because I figured by just slashing everything to the ground, then I could be more mindful and choosy about what I added back. And so what I found once I took this conference cold turkey, event cold turkey, is my level of focus and progress on important things went through the roof, because I wasn't always thinking about my next trip. I wasn't always going to some event and then, you know, trying to get things done before doing that. And I found that I didn't really miss it that much. There's people I definitely miss, certain people that I liked seeing at different events, and I kind of miss seeing them. But and it's connecting over social media and stuff like that isn't quite the same, for sure. But so far, I haven't really gone back to doing it. I only go to, sometimes I go to local events, some really select ones. Like a while ago, we had a mastermind in Austin, and so I went to that. That was fantastic. And I'm not saying I will never go to conferences or travel again or anything like that once, you know, we're allowed to travel again. But for now, my default is a no, unless there's like a really, really good reason for a yes.
Well, with the shelter in place now and the quarantining, I'm guessing you're not really going anywhere either,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, this is something that in the chat Alice just said, actually. She says, and for all of us, obviously, shelter in place has forced her to have an event cold turkey, whether she wanted it or not. But she thinks there's probably going to be many events that won't return to the schedule, because some conferences you go to just out of habit. You know, you went to XYZ 2018, so you're going to go to XYZ 2019. And sometimes you even buy your ticket for next year's conference. And it just becomes a thing you do. But now that all of us have kind of broken that chain, whether we like it or not, it'll be interesting to see if more of us choose the conference minimalism strategy.
When you said that, it reminded me of someone that we personally know, and he lives also in Canada on an island, and he goes to this conference every single year, and he buys his ticket without his wife's permission. He just goes, and then he'll, you know, ask for forgiveness later.
Yes.
That's just what it reminded me of when you said that.
Yeah, I was there when his wife found out that he was going 1 year, and it was not a pretty sight. So yeah.
So be in communication. That's a big takeaway there too.
But yes, definitely.
Yeah, I hear you. When you go to something just out of habit, you know, it's easy to justify to yourself to say, "Oh, yeah, well, if I just learn one thing, then you know, it's worth the ticket, right?" And then you can just justify literally anything you want. And it's really easy when you pre-purchase something, or you're like, oh, you know, well, I'll just go just to kind of check it out. We can rationalize very quickly why it is a good idea and why we should go. And I think going cold turkey in that sense gives you some perspective to say, okay, is it actually worth it? Is it worth my time now to continue to go? And also when life's circumstances change, you know, maybe you have a kid, right? Or your position changes, or some health concern you might have, or family concerns might pop up, you always want to reevaluate. And I think going to something just out of habit is not a good use of time.
And by the way, I'm not saying that going to conferences and events is something that you should try to cut out if that's something that you do. It could be that for your role, for your business, it makes a lot of sense to do that. It's just for me and my situation, once I really evaluate it, I realize that it didn't. Your role and your situation might be different, but it's definitely worth whatever your kind of habit and thing you spend your time on or interruption you let into your life. It's worth asking the honest questions of whether something really is worth it or not.
Yeah. So if you're an operations guy as well, don't send yourself to a sales conference or something, because it might be interesting, but probably not a good use of time. But that's a whole different story, Brooks. I'm not going to send you to a Salesforce conference or something like that. But if you ever want to go to an Atlassian conference, I think that would be a great idea. But all obviously, right, with everything going on right now, that's probably not going to happen until next year.
Probably not.
So you're going to go cold turkey for a few more months, I'm going to guess.
Yep. Whether I like it or not, that's what's going to happen. Yep.
So when it comes to my second challenge that I'm going to share with you here today, it's actually very similar to Brooks's original story, because when I first started working full time, I dropped out of college after my third year to start working at this life coaching business in Los Angeles. And it was my version of pursuing the American dream. It's one of the reasons I moved to the States, was to pursue the American dream. And initially that was going to college, but then I dropped out. And I got promoted within, I believe, like 3 months when I started working there. And I started off as an intern. And then after 3 months of working really hard, long days, and just being on top of everything, I was now the marketing manager. And I was now responsible for bringing in revenue, bringing in new clients, managing top clients that we had. And so as a 20-year-old, almost turning 21, I had no clue what I was in store for, because I just got by working really long days and working really hard. And as a young kid, I was just really excited and I just didn't know any better by just other than just working hard, right? And as you gain more responsibility, as you are responsible for managing team members now, kind of like you were saying, Brooks, I have peers and now I have to be their boss. You have to learn all these new management skills. You have to learn all these different soft skills. You have to learn how to do 10 million different things, even though you can't actually do them. You have to learn how to delegate and teach to your, you know, peers how to do certain things as well. And it was just so overwhelming, you know, especially as a 20-year-old. And so I started to not sleep that much. I was feeling really stressed. I was also losing clients over time and losing opportunities. And I wasn't contributing as much as I used to be. And because of all the stress and not working out and lack of sleep, I put on about 20 pounds in like 2 or 3 months. And it was not a pretty sight. And I still have a picture of me looking young and healthy before the promotion and then right after. And you can see, like, I have like chubby cheeks and don't look put together whatsoever. And if you've ever been on some of our live trainings, you've probably seen that photo. But I needed to make a difference somewhere, somehow. Otherwise, I was going to lose my job. And that was one of my biggest fears at that time, because I already dropped out of school. Right, this is like 2008, 2009, when the economy already crashed. There were no job opportunities. And as somebody who, you know, dropped out of school on a student visa, yeah, all of that on top of each other, you're just like, I have no shot other than to keep this job. And so I remember looking myself in the mirror one morning, I was like, man, I am so fat. You know, I have like bags under my eyes. I didn't sleep much. I feel terrible. You know, I'm not excited about, you know, going to work. And when I was thinking about the American dream of why I came here, like, I was not motivated to do anything whatsoever. And at that moment, I realized, okay, something really has to change. And so I was already someone who liked to read, and I started to just go back to reading. That was kind of like my coping mechanism in a way of just like escaping. And so I started to read a bunch of books about the brain, and I was always interested in how the brain worked and how you maximize your brain power and how you become smarter that way and that kind of stuff. And just studying neuroscience in general, I was always fascinated by them. And then somehow that led me into reading GTD. And so I started to read, getting things done. I've always seen the book around. My uncle had it on his bookshelf. I've seen it on the internet. You know, you've heard about it. But it wasn't until I picked up a copy. I remember I was walking to Barnes & Noble's. This is in Pasadena, to the store and walking in there. And I grabbed a copy and I was like, wow. I just read the first chapter. I was like, wow, this is amazing. There's actually a systematic approach to getting stuff done. And as somebody who has kind of like a natural knack for systems, but never knew that there was a systematic approach to being productive, I was really fascinated by this. And so after reading the first chapter, I was like, okay, I need to get myself this book. So I bought the book, you know, start reading it, applying it. And I started to, you know, apply it, and it kind of worked for me and then kind of didn't. So I started to experiment a lot more and try to figure out my own system, but using some ideas from GTD. And then eventually I was able to figure things out and create my own personal system. And then that led to me being back full at 100% by sleeping more, having confidence to know what to do, that things are captured, that things are stored somewhere, that I can review my week and kind of plan ahead. And slowly over time, I was able to actually get ahead at work again. And so once I was kind of in that place, I was then able to like work out again and then like catch up on sleep. And so instead of working, I would, you know, try to do all the healthy stuff. And so I slowly started moving back to almost like normal in a way, but now more equipped with like productivity knowledge and actually having a personal productivity system. And so if you're somebody who's listening right now and you kind of feel lost and you just don't know what to do on a day-to-day basis, hopefully this will inspire you to either, one, start studying the brain, because you start to learn a lot about the neuroscience behind it, how your brain chemistry works, how that affects like your feelings and your thoughts, and it has this whole trickle down effect on like your hormones and your energy levels and everything. It's one of the best things you can do is really studying how the brain works. And then also either picking up a copy such as like Getting Things Done or another productivity book or course, which we of course have inside the dojo, one of our many courses that we have inside the community, but also we have tons of free resources on the podcast here, right? So there's so many resources that are available now that back in the day, 10, 12 years ago, weren't not available whatsoever. So there's a wealth of knowledge out there for you, but you just got to go ahead and actually, you know, consume it and use it.
Since both of us talked about how GTD was pretty fundamental in our journeys, in the dojo, in the chat that we record alongside with the podcast, Giacomo says, I see that GTD is the common Bible of our productivity church. And he puts Seven Habits as the Old Testament. Yeah, that's a very good point. A lot of people go into and out of GTD at least at some point, and both Alice and Giacomo mentioned that review is the weak point of GTD. And yeah, I think that is something that I definitely hear the most commonly. And at least for me, in my experience, whenever I find my system is coming off the rails and I'm starting to lose track of the things I'm not in as control as I used to be, it's almost always because my review has not been as regular as it should be. It sounds like Giacomo and Alice came to the same conclusion. The GTD, that is one thing I'm glad they brought up, because, you know, when I told my story and I said I implemented GTD and it changed everything for me, and it really did, I didn't want to imply that all of a sudden I spent a weekend in implementing GTD and all of a sudden ever since then my productivity life has been perfect. Of course, there's always ups and downs, but review is a big part and probably, I think, an under-recognized part of doing GTD. We have an article about doing review and like you on the blog, which I'll link to, and we've talked about it in the course in the dojo that you mentioned. But yeah, definitely do not focus solely on the capture and the apps part of GTD and skip the review part, because the review part really is the secret sauce.
Yeah, so we shared four of our challenges here today. And to conclude our episode, one of the things we always like to do is to make sure that it is simple and actionable for you here. So what we encourage you to do here is to think about your current productivity challenge. What is something that you're running into right now where you feel stuck, or you're just not in momentum, you're not in a groove to get stuff done? And ask yourself, what is one thing you can do right now to mitigate it instead of just putting up with it? What is something that you can do here today? And hopefully our stories and our journeys have inspired you to take action and to discover what that one thing might be for you. And if you do know or have a sense of what to do, you don't have to have the total solution, right? But you need to know what is one thing, though, that you can take action on right now, no matter how small it might be. And once you know that, start implementing that right away. Start doing it right away. Maybe even schedule it somewhere on your calendar. Go ahead and do that now. And I know you're going to get back into your groove and back into momentum. So if you enjoyed today's episode, you want to get the show notes, be sure to go to theproductivityshow.com/302. Do you wish there were more hours in a day? Are you behind on your to-do list? If you want to be more productive and get proven tools to help you save time, then you must check out our new productivity assessment. Within 2 minutes of taking this free assessment, the tool will generate a personal recommendation list of which apps, tools, and strategies that will work for you based on your life situation. To take the assessment, just go to theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Again, that URL is theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Take their free assessment today and you'll be on your way to becoming superhuman productive. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.